I'd like to draw your attention this evening to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'd like us to consider a lady called Abigail. She plays a small part in the scriptural drama, but an important one. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and I will read from verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. So I'll just pause there. So here we have a woman who at first reckoning seems to have everything. She is rich, or at least she's married to a man who is rich. She's living in something of a golden age of ancient Israel. She is a woman of good understanding. She's wise. She's intelligent. And she's beautiful to look at. She has everything. If ever there was a woman we might be jealous of, it's Abigail. And then we come to a but. But her husband was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. She's married to a brute. Worse than that, she's married to a stupid brute. Worse than that, she's married to a stupid brute who happens to be rich. Riches open more doorways. For those who are good and righteous, it opens more doorways to serve and to bless. But to those who are evil, it opens up doorways to do more evil. And she is married to such a man. And despite her beauty, despite her understanding, despite all these thousands of sheep and goats wandering the hills around Carmel, she has to share her life with an evil man. And I'm sure she would exchange her riches and her looks and maybe even her understanding for a better husband. But it would appear that that is her lot. Verse 4. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you. Peace be to your house and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favour in your eyes, for we come on a fixed day. Please give us whatever comes to your hand and to your servants and your son David.' And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away from each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?' So David's young men turned on their heels and went back. And they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, 'Every man gird on his sword.' So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies." Nabal, despite being wealthy, doesn't understand that when David and his men have effectively been looking after his possessions, it would only be fair that he contributes towards their food bill. But he refuses and he's insulting along the way. I can only imagine that the way he deals with David on this one occasion is how he's been dealing with his wife from the day she had to marry him. He really is a nasty piece of work and he's stingy, thrown into the bargain. In verse 14, though, we come back to Abigail. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the field. They were a wall to us by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel, no one can speak to him." What does that tell us about Abigail? In verse 18, she's going to act. But clearly, one of the young men from verse 14 understands that if the whole household is going to be rescued, there's no point going to Nabal. He's a man who will not be spoken to. Once he has made his mind up, he's not for changing, even if it means his own death and destruction and all those with him. But the young man realises that his wife is made of better stuff. From one point of view, she can't change his mind either. What authority does she have under the law or in this marriage to overrule her husband? And yet the young man has confidence that if anybody can get the household out of this dreadful situation, it's Abigail. How does he know that? Well, we don't know. But presumably his or their dealings with her thus far in the little things have been honourable. And she has gained a reputation for being fair and equitable and generous and wise. And the young man comes to her not knowing who else he might turn to. Verse 18, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, 'Go on before me. See, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband, Nabal." She's going to be generous when he was stingy. Now, I'm not entirely sure how marriage arrangements worked back then, but as his wife, it's her food as well. And she can be generous with it, even if he will not be. And she is wise. She sends the food first, and then she's going to give David an explanation. It seems to me that she's providing David with a feast. Whereas Nabal is extremely stingy, it seems to me that Abigail is extremely generous. She, in her small way, will compensate for his lack. Verse 20, "So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so, and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light.' Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed to the ground." Now, that of course bespeaks a great humility. It also, I think, speaks of her trust in God. Remember, she is stunningly beautiful, and we know that David is something of a ladies' man. But she doesn't flirt with him. She doesn't show off her best angle. In fact, she hides it. And she lets her humility do the speaking. So she fell at his feet and said, "On me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. Nabal has his name, and folly is with him. He is a foolish man, well named. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. She's demonstrating humility, but she's also giving the glory to God. It might be she's referring to the fact that the young man who approached her, she's acknowledging that although he was acting on his own initiative, in fact it was the Lord using him. And now, she hopes, the Lord is using her. He might sometimes speak through a prophet, sometimes through an angel, but now he's speaking through a woman, face down, with a whole load of loaves coming. Verse 27, and now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. I don't think she's just buttering him up or flattering him in verse 28. Verse 28 are the words of faith. The Lord, he is fighting for the Lord, but also the Lord will give him an enduring house. That doesn't mean somewhere to live that won't fall down. It means a dynasty. She understands that he is the one who will found an enduring dynasty. And I don't think I'm pushing it too far here. The dynasty from which the Messiah will come. I think that's why she's particularly appalled at David's treatment. Not just because Nabal has not been grateful for David's protection, but because this man is the future. From this man, the deliverer will come. And therefore he is doubly deserving of honour. Verse 29, yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life. But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offence of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Here we can see that she has a dynamic and living faith in the God of Israel. And she knows that David is the one through whom he will deliver the land. And David said to Abigail in verse 32, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. In other words, Abigail, although she took a risk, she has saved many lives, and even prevented David from committing avoidable bloodshed. Here is a woman who begins the chapter unhappily married, despite her beauty, despite his riches, and yet she's given an opportunity to serve, and she seizes it. And she does what her husband was too stupid and wicked to do. Well, if that wasn't happy ending enough. Towards the end of the chapter in verse 42, Nabal is judged by God and dies, and David marries Abigail. A lovely picture here of the Lord blessing this woman. At the beginning, she has everything apart from a loving, wise, and godly husband. And for this wonderful act of service and faith in David, the Lord then gives her that as well. In one respect, she's not a powerful woman. although she does become a queen. In another respect, we don't know why she ended up marrying Nabal, but she does. The Lord used her despite her unhappiness. The Lord used her despite her weakness. The Lord used her despite her husband's stinginess. The Lord used her despite David's intent on violence. And for her faithfulness, the Lord honoured her and gave her a better husband. God honours those who honours him. The Lord takes the unhappy character from the beginning of the chapter and gives her everything she wants. Not because she's a schemer, not because she flirts with David, not because she drops arsenic in Nabal's tea. She lets God take care of Nabal, and she does what is right by the Lord in the meantime. And that is why Abigail is a great woman of God. Amen.